We're joined by Ed Daniels, a WGNO sports director here for Who Dat History on Canal Street Chronicles. Ed, thanks for giving us some time tonight. The first thing I want to dive into before we discuss the 79 season as it was how close were the Saints to hiring Don Coryell? I discovered an AP Wire story that expected the Saints to do just that. Of course, people, if you're not familiar with Don Coryell, he's one of the father of the modern passing game, maybe one of the great offensive minds in the history of the NFL. How close were the Saints to hiring him in 78 instead of Dick Nolan?
Well, I don't really think it was ever close. I know there was a lot of discussions about Coryell, and you know he had gotten fired, I believe, in St. Louis, or at least locked out of his office. The owner of the Cardinals, Bill Bidwell, changed the locks on his office. I think that's the way he found out he was fired. But you know, I don't think it was ever really as close as a lot of people speculated. And Dick Nolan was the choice, and actually for the first couple of years, I thought. You know, the Saints made a lot of progress. They were very good offensively. They were just terrible defensively. They couldn't stop anybody. And if they could have in 78 and 79, they would have made the playoffs because they were 7-9 and an 8-18 with no defense. And then Coryell, of course, went to San Diego and had a tremendous, tremendous run there. And that would have been exciting for Saints football with Don Coryell. But look, under Dick Nolan, who was a defensive coach, they had great offenses.
Yeah, they did. They were ranked sixth.
They had Archie, they had Chuck Muncy, they had Henry Childs, they had Tony Galbraith, they had Wes Chandler, in a very good offensive line. They were a very, very talented offensive team. I think until the 2000, you know, the Saints of the last few years have won a Super Bowl and they're putting up some gaudy offensive numbers. Before that, those Saints offenses, 78 and 79, to me were the best.
Yeah, and I got my hands on all the game tapes, and that 79 team, I mean, they went to Tampa, crushed Tampa, beat the Rams, and those were the two teams in the NFC Championship. Going into 79, watching the broadcast, they said that it was the first game that wasn't locally black. There was a New Orleans game in the Dome that wasn't blacked out. Try to set the mood for the fans of that 79 team against Atlanta in that opening week. It seemed like it was a, from everything I've read in Wayne Mack's History of the Saints, it seemed like it was perhaps the biggest, most anticipated season opener they had had up to then.
Yeah, I think it was. I think that's accurate. You know, one of the things that happened in 78, actually two things. You know, the Saints lost a game to Atlanta in New Orleans on the Hail Mary pass. Big Ben. That was the first big Hail Mary pass. That kind of set the whole Hail Mary pass thing in vogue, because the Falcons completed one and won that game. And then later on that year in Atlanta in 78, Saints lost a call on a controversial pass interference call on Maurice Spencer. So there were two last-second losses to Atlanta the year before in 78. So when they opened the season in 79, Saints had tremendous hopes of winning that game and, of course, making the playoffs for the first time. But then they lost that game in overtime to Atlanta on a the ball was snapped, I believe, over Herb Slavin's head, and he tried to throw it and was intercepted, and Atlanta scored a touchdown. I think the young man's name was Mayberry. Who grabbed the ball out of the air and ran in like 5 or 6 yards for a touchdown. But it was another meltdown against the Falcons, and the Saints had a lot of bad luck against Atlanta during that time. But you know, those are very talented Saints teams, and that 79 opener was a big one. There's a lot of high hopes, and you know, the Saints didn't make the playoffs, but they finished 8-8. I think going into 1980 or whatever, that there was a lot of high hopes that there would be a very, very, very good ball club.
Yeah, and the 79 draft, it seemed to me, looking at the 78 games, it didn't seem to me that it cried out, "We need a kicker is the final piece." Take us through sort of the whole Irk Slabin as a draft pick. The only person that I could find that was vehemently against it was the pro personnel director, Harry Holmes, at the time. Everybody else seemed on board. What was the feeling for you guys in the media and the fans for the Irk Slabin pick?
At the time, I mean, you know, it was unheard of that a guy was going to be picked in the first round as a kicker and a punter that high. I think it was 13 or 14 overall in the draft, and that a player would be picked that high as a first-round pick as a kicker and a punter, especially how bad the Saints were in, you know, defensively. And there was another guy on the board there, Jerry Robinson, who was a linebacker that a lot of people thought the Saints would take, and he turned out to be a pretty good player in the NFL for a long time. And of course, we all know what happened with Urslave, and he never did gel. But that was kind of, that was, you know, that was just a mess. It was a bad pick. And, the guy got off to a bad start. He was under a lot of pressure. He really couldn't handle it. And, it was a mess. That was one of the, you know, I would say that one, and, you know, there's a few others that are the most ignominious, picks in Saints history. You know, Jonathan Sullivan would certainly have to be in that category. Sean Knight. But I think Urslavin was right up there.
Yeah. And we're going to, talking about, bad Saints moves, we're going to get to one that was at the end of the 79 season. But one other game that I want to touch on with you is the Raiders game. And Saints fans like me, we're younger. You say, oh, the Raiders game. Oh, that's the Monday night game. They were up 35-14. They lost. But you dig a little deeper into it. They were in first place at 7-6. The NFL said, Saints, you win this game, you can print playoff tickets. It's the biggest Saints game clearly in their history at that time. To lose 35-14, Ed, if I said to you, that's the worst loss in Saints history, you might not agree with me, but you'd at least have to think about it for a little while.
Well, the one thing about that game, Ralph, it was a total collapse.
Yeah.
You know, they had a big lead in that game. And again, but here's the deal. They were bad defensively. If you would have given that kind of lead to the 87 Saints or the 91 Saints or the 92 Saints, it would have never happened. That would have just never happened. They were bad defensively, and, you know, they just couldn't hold them out. I mean, it was only a matter of time before the Raiders got it going. And they got it going, and the Saints couldn't stop the snowball and wind up losing that game.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about watching the games from 1979 with the Saints offense is Archie Manning, and I know some Saints fans might think I'm crazy, but he reminds me a little bit of Aaron Brooks, not so much the leadership, but he ran hot and cold. Like, he plays Tampa, he was 11-14, and the offense would look great, and then he'd go for stretches where, you know, it was a different time, but he did seem to me to run a little bit hot and cold.
Well, the thing about Archie is that, you know, they had to score a lot of points to stay in those games. I mean, they were in some of those games where they felt like they had to score in every possession to win, because, again, they couldn't stop anyone. You know, and if you've got a good defense, maybe you throw the ball away and just say, hey, we're going to punt and we're going to move on. That team was so bad defensively that the offense was always under a lot of pressure to score points.
Yeah, it was. And that first Atlanta game, they had double-digit leads four separate times, and not once after they scored to get the double-digit lead could they hold Atlanta out. I want to talk to you a little bit about the end of the year. The Saints, they went 8-8, like you said, had their best season ever. Wayne Mack described it as the most disastrous front office shuffle Meacham ever orchestrated. Meacham didn't know what he was doing or why. For fans, he hired Steve Rosenbloom, who was the son of the Rams owner, and the Rams owner drowned, and Georgia Frontieri got possession of the team. And she fired Steve Rosenbloom, and John Meacham said he did it because he owed it as a favor to Chip Rosenbloom.
It was a bad situation. You had a general manager and a head coach who were clearly not on the same page. And you know, Dick Steinberg was the personnel guy who turned out to be pretty good at that time. He was a really good personnel guy and had a lot of success in the league. He came with Rosenbloom, but it just never worked out. Clearly, there was a lot of infighting, and there was two different factions going on there. And, you know, and another thing, too, hit the Saints team in 1980 had a lot of drug problems. And, you know, there was the trade of Tony Galbraith, the trade of Chuck Muncy. It was clearly a club that was spiraling out of control, and you know, they went 1-15.
Yeah.
They were a divided team in the beginning, and then after that, they started trading all their assets away, and they were just terrible.
Yeah,
and frankly, they were fortunate to beat the Jets for their one win that year.
And that brings me to another point with, you know, how much of the Steve Rosenbloom hire effect in 1980, but also in 78, they signed Don Reese from the Dolphins, who had been in prison for a year for selling cocaine. I know it's a different area. It's 30 years ago. Did that get a lot of – I wonder. I couldn't really find anything too much on it.
But he was part of the other thing that was going on there, and he was part of the you know, the problems that were going on in the locker room, and he was clearly a guy that caused a lot of problems. In fact, you know, he admitted, I believe, that Sports Illustrated using some kind of narcotic or whatever in the locker room, or he said that players were doing stuff before games. I don't remember the exact part of it, but you know, clearly a guy who was a real integral part of the problem there. So it was a mess.
Was there sort of a sense of media outrage? Like, what are they're signing this? I mean, signing this guy right
no,
out of prison?
I mean,
no, not really.
I know it was a different time. I mean, with today's 24/7 news cycle, that would have gotten a lot more coverage.
Yeah, and how, you know, when I used to work at WWL, I asked Buddy D. I said, how close were they in 78, 79? And he always said, I don't know how close they were, but Meekum and the drugs totally destroyed it. If you had
that imploded it, no question.
What would you say was the main, would you say it was the front office thing where Rosenblum, Dick Nolan had control in his contract? How much was it the front office shuffle? How much was it was the drugs?
Well, I think it was clearly two things. I mean, it was number one, the infighting, and number two, the drugs. I think it was clearly both things, no question. And, you know, Dick Nolan, tried to hold it together, but they got off to a very bad start, and then they started trading all their assets, and there were so many rumors about what was going on in the locker room, and it was really a bad scene. Just a bad scene, period.
Yeah, and before I let you go, watching these games with these Saints players, the guy to me, with the two players on offense that stick out and you say, well, he could play today, would be Wes Chandler could play today, and Henry Childs. They just seem to stick out more so than other guys on the Saints roster, or even comparatively to guys in the NFL in 1979.
Well, I just think when you look at that team, there was a bunch of guys on the offense who could play right now. Conrad Dover, who played guard. J.T. Taylor was a left tackle. He's a very good player. Henry Childs, and, of course, Wes Chandler. But, you know, the two guys in the backfield, Thunder and Lightning, you know, Muncy and Galbraith, they were both outstanding players. And the thing that made them dangerous is they were both really good pass receivers. So, you know, they were just really weapons for Archie, because that's all he had to do is dump the ball off to those guys, and they could make a lot of yards. So, you know, I think when you look offensively, there was a lot of guys on that team who could have played in the NFL, and the only guy maybe I think that really stood out on defense was Tommy Myers, who was a really good player.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Myers could definitely play in the NFL right now.
And one last question before I let you go, the whole sort of Archie Manning, you know, the sort of, before I watch these games, the history of him is sort of mostly, you know, oral, people saying this and that about him. But watching the games on him, he really was, especially 78, 79, and even 80, he was very good. If the Saints had Don Coryell, does everything change with Archie? Because Coryell got Dan Fouts. He was 27, and he had the best 5 years of his career. Is everything different with Don Coryell, or was just the drugs and everything too much to overcome?
I don't know. I just, like I said, I think no matter who the coach was, if they had a representative defense, they certainly would have been in the playoffs, because they had a great offensive football team. They were extremely good offensive football team. And Ralph, hey, they just didn't have a defense, period. They just could not get people stopped. They tried that flex defense that they played at Dallas, and they just could not get it done the way it needs to get done. And it was just not good, period.
Yeah. How much of was it all personnel, or was the flex sort of?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think the scheme was a little shaky, but look, they didn't have good players. I mean, you know, they did not have the material on defense to win in this league. And, you know, they, like I said before, That's why the offense was the way it was, because they knew they were under a lot of pressure to score a lot of points because they weren't going to get stops. They weren't able to play field position and kick the ball. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it just seems to me they really sort of fit those later Hazlitt teams where
they just couldn't get stops. Period.
Yeah. Well, Ed, thanks for giving us some time. I know the fans are really excited about the Who Dat history segment, and you're one of the people that know the history of the Saints in and out. And thanks for giving us some time tonight.
Anytime.